Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, Bart will be down the hallway momentarily, ambling down. They let me go early on First Take. We were both on First Take today. A good shout out for the show, right? Not bad. And so he's had the finished show. I literally just saw him do the last segment with Monica McNutt, and then he'll be right here. And we got a lot of things to get into today. But while I am thrilled that Aaron Rodgers is a Jet, I'm thrilled with all the great things that you're going to hear him say as he has talked about. He's been pitch perfect. Seriously, like, has there been one thing that he has said so far about this experience? You're like, oh man, this guy, right? Like, no, everything he has said, where it's music to our ears, audio porn. We love this stuff. It's like he almost knows, like he knows how to play the fiddle. He's playing us like a fiddle. He knows it. Oh, these New Yorkers. All I got to do is a little nostalgia. Let's say all the check boxes. Has he mentioned the 90s Knicks yet? Like, will he ever go there? Oh, man, those teams were tough with Oakley and Mason. Like, if he starts doing that stuff and starts making all these different references, it's over. Show up in Tim's in a white T-shirt, forget it. It's over. So he's playing us. I love it. He knows just what to say, and we're lapping it up. Like kittens, right? Just lapping up that milk in the saucer. We love it. It's great. All right, so there's one thing. It's one thing that got me. And see if you can relate, all of you who are dads. So I got to hear him talk about how he can't wait to go see Taylor Swift at MetLife Stadium. Raise your hand if you're a dad who, like, your daughter has been asking you for tickets, and you're like, there's nothing. I mean, that thing sold out such a long time ago that the secondary market is insane right now. It's stupid. Or, of course, you can, you know, like, be like some people and just go show up at the building hoping to scalp some, whatever. I'm not doing all that. First of all, it's so far away where we live. But my daughter Gracie has been asking me for weeks about this. And I've tried everybody that I know that might have an in. I even asked Bart. You think Bart's got to know people, right? Nothing. I can't get in the building. I can't get my daughter in the building and her friends. I can't make it happen. But yet, Aaron Rodgers parachutes in from Green Bay, and all of a sudden he's comped some tickets. Probably going to be like, you know, right? He's in a suite for sure, right? He's all fired up, ready to go, happy. Got some friends who are also big fans in his age group. We're all going to go together. You know, it's the one thing I got a problem with. Seriously, like there's no tickets anywhere. You know, there's no way to get into MetLife Stadium.
Well, I got a way for you if you're willing to pay.
You have a way? Yeah. I'm willing to pay.
Because my daughter doesn't know it right now, but her ticket's available if you have the right price.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do that.
Why not?
Well, how much? What are we talking?
Well, listen, I was reading things about a guy in New England spending, yep, like, what, 21 grand or something?
Grand.
Oh, yeah.
21, like, not 2,100, 21,
no,
grand?
No, 2,100, please. You can't put a price on happiness, can you?
The bidding starts at 21 grand. Is that what we're doing? How many tickets are we talking here?
Well, we'll have to disappoint our friends, but, you know.
When did you get these tickets? Like, the minute they went on sale kind of deal?
Yeah, that was a online, going through the Ticketmaster nightmare.
Yeah, there was that. Wow. 21 grand. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that for several reasons. One, because I don't want to spend that much on this. Two, I don't want to be the one that you point to as if to say, like, you tell your daughter, like, listen, he offered 21 grand. How am I saying no to that? So she's crushed that now she can't go. And you've got money, and you got 21 grand in your pocket.
Look, you know how many Taylor Swift songs we can buy on Spotify for 21 grand?
Come on, man. I don't know. I don't think I'm doing it.
All of her version, too.
Of course. It's always the Taylor's version. Everything's Taylor's version. Is there anybody else out there that is going through this right now? Because I cannot believe that it's impossible to get this ticket. Impossible. My 15-year-old daughter, I can't get her in the building. I want to be Father of the Year. So a long time, oh God, how long ago? Probably 10 years ago. Yeah, it had to have been. My oldest, Emma, she was 12. All right, so 10 years ago. And Justin Bieber was at the Garden at some event. It wasn't a game. It was like an event, and I was there too. And Emma was with me, and I saw him, and we have a mutual friend. So I just, you know, said to the mutual friend, like, I don't want to bother him, but is there any way that Emma can just get a quick photo with him? Like, nothing crazy. Just if she just walks by, he just smiles, and we're done. And he's like, let me talk to him. And so I see Biebs there, and he just kind of like nods. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess it's okay. Then all of a sudden, my buddy comes up to me. He's like, go in the back in the hallway and meet him there. So I go in the back in the hallway, and there's Justin hanging out. He's just standing there by himself. And my daughter stands, and he just says hello, and he just starts talking to her. Great kid, great. And nice conversation, photo lasts forever, Father of the Year. So I'm thinking, like, there's no statute of limitations on that. That's done, that picture lasts forever, that moment lasts forever, Father of the Year. But of course, now the next daughter number two, is like, where's my moment? So she wants to now go to this thing, and I can't get in the building. And now I got to see Aaron Rodgers talking about how him and a bunch of friends are going to see Taylor Swift. What's up, Bart?
What up, bro? Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't come through for you. And them Taylor Swift concerts, like trying to find a diamond in the rough, man. Broke the internet twice.
Twice. Yeah, and it's going to break me. Dinahan just offered me his tickets for 21 grand. Ticket, I should say. One. 21 grand. Would you do it? Do you have any money on you?
One person. What you mean? Do you understand?
It's 21 grand. That's pocket change.
Do you understand how much you are loved around here? Right now, GoFundMe. Go. Put it up. GoFundMe. Hashtag save out.
No. Here's the problem,
I don't take
though.
GoFundMe. I only take on me.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Is that
it's
if,
one.
If I bought the tickets from Ray, his daughter doesn't get to go. So her heart's broken, and all this time, she thinks she's going. And he's like, she doesn't know this yet, but those tickets are available. So you can't do that, right? That's not right.
I mean, it's a valuable lesson, because then with the 21 grand, then you buy her something for 5 grand, and you're net 16.
See, that's how you think.
You're always the businessman.
Yeah, always thinking business-wise.
Buy her Louis purse, and now she got Louis Vuitton purse.
You might have seen Taylor Swift, but I got Louis.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You got Louis purse, and she can stand out there. I wonder if are they going to do it like where they put it on her, you can hear it from like the outside?
Bart, I know
because people have stuff outside.
I know people who are going to MetLife just to be outside.
Right, because they should be playing it on the screen outside. They have a screen outside, kind of like when in Milwaukee when they had a watch parties. I forgot what they called it, the deer or something. You know what I mean? Okay. You just have them go out there.
Yeah,
watch it out there.
I'm not joking.
You can still hear it. Like,
my daughter Gracie's friends.
Yeah.
She has friends who are going to MetLife. They don't have a ticket. Yeah. And they're going to just literally stay outside and hope they can hear. Now, it's not like a baseball stadium where there's one area. Like, you can go behind it where the outfield is open and maybe you can get the music. It's a bowl. Where's the music going but up?
Yeah, but you can hear it.
Can you?
Yeah. I just took my son to Monster Jam, and I can hear the cars. You're going to hear the speakers.
So bottom line is, I asked you a while ago, and you came up empty.
They never called me back.
Nothing.
Jets never called me back. They acting bougie. See, they got good stuff, and now they don't want to holler at their boy. Yeah. I got to pull up on somebody. That's what it is. I got to pull up on them.
Let's pull up.
You know what it is? Like have you remember that commercial they used to have back in the day?
What?
When that person was on hold and they start walking to the place in which they were on hold with, and they pull up on the person while they're on hold, and they've been on hold for like 14 hours. I just got to pull up on somebody in the Jets. Like, really? Ain't nobody see nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody telling me, hey, we got the Jet suite? I mean, I can't imagine. How many active players?
Well, I think
players,
Aaron has the Jet suite,
but this thing, how many active Jet players have kids old enough mm-hmm. that even care about Taylor Swift? That's the whole thing, right? because most of these guys are 20.
The players are going to go because it's a thing to be at.
No, no, hell no. The players don't want to see. Listen, if you're a player and you're going to see Taylor Swift, it's something wrong with your life.
Aaron said he's a big fan. He's a Swiftie.
They probably been in the same areas hanging out, so he's going to support a friend.
Gotcha.
Those other guys don't know Taylor. So they're just losers. They're just being groupies of the moment, if that's the case.
Well, it's a place to be seen, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But although if you're an NFL player at a Taylor Swift concert and they put you up on the screen, everybody's like,
and
are
you going to sing it?
Who's that?
First of all, and you don't know the songs. Listen, I can't go to a concert when I don't even know their songs. If I can't mouth your songs, I can't get into it. Mm. You know what I mean? I know her songs, like, it's like, she's like,
do you go to this
concert? She's like the white Mary J. Blige.
Do you?
She's had a lot of hurt from her relationships, and the more hurt in relationships she had,
her songs,
the better her songs are.
Her songs are always about somebody, and you got to figure out who's this about now. Who's this one about? But the one thing, though, you could say is going to a concert like that, and this is from experience, when you're in your 20s, who's going to that concert? Not just young kids now.
Yeah, moms.
No, girls in their 20s.
Yeah.
Not a bad place to go, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you're an NFL player,
you don't need that.
Why are you going there? Like, really?
To be seen.
Who's gonna see you?
Giddy, happy, probably somewhat inebriated young women.
And what? Can't take a picture of me, God, and we got no. Mm-hmm.
No.
You don't need to be. Listen, when you're that age, because you don't know. Mm-hmm. Because it's not like a bar. You don't know how old they really are.
Well, I mean, that's something to be very careful with.
Right, and then they're drinking. You don't want that in your life.
Well, I mean, if they
Ricky
are.
Bobby.
No.
You want to be safe? Go to a Janet Jackson. Go find where Janet Jackson is.
Go to the Mary J. Blige one.
Go there.
That's one where you know for sure.
Everybody there, you know what I'm saying?
Fleetwood Mac is playing right now.
AARP car. Yeah, you're good.
You're safe going to Fleetwood Mac.
If you go there, you pretty much cool. You can go ahead and cash a deal with anybody. I need verification. You got to be out there with the damn light to see if you can see the hologram. And so you don't want to be doing that.
800-919-3776 is the number.
Our boy Friedle, man, is living a life.
Yeah. No, he's covering the series. So is Wendy. And we'll probably, you know what we'll do? We'll get Friedle on tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because tonight's interesting, this game.
No Gabe Vincent.
How'd you feel about me just straight up, it ends tonight? I said this on First Take.
I think I echoed it because they asked me to speak. They let me speak basketball.
Oh, when they sent me home, so you jumped in and did the hoops?
Yeah, nice. I did the hoops. Well, they wanted you to get started because they know you had to pilot the ship. I'm the co-pilot.
That's right. I had to get myself a little.
So you had to get off the ground. I just came in. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, everybody should know this. And I, just for the record, as I went to get breakfast and I didn't have much time, I texted Bart.
Oh.
And it came up green bubble. So I knew green bubble means that.
What does green bubble mean?
Well, it's not a blue bubble, which means green bubble says that your connection isn't great.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Right? It was a green text instead of the blue message.
Gotcha.
So I'm like, all right. So he's not a good messenger. So maybe he didn't receive it, whatever. So I go.
Yeah.
To the spot. Uh-huh. I go to 10, get my matcha muffin.
Oh, yeah.
Then I'm like, I'm going to get Bart a smoothie.
Oh, yeah. I'm
so I went to go get the smoothie, but you never responded.
Yeah.
And I know how you are about diet and your body and all this stuff. Like, you, I never know what you.
Yeah.
Like, is Bart in his, I'm having eggs and bacon and everything on the menu? Or, no, I'm leaning up, man. I'm just going to have a little yogurt. Like, I don't know where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not going to assume anything.
Right, right.
So. You never responded.
Did you get the text?
I got my stuff. I walk all the way back. I get into the elevator. I go up in the elevator. I get out of the elevator. I see Vinny. I see Danny. And I start laughing. And they're like, what? I go, I asked Bart a question 20 minutes ago. He sent back yes just as I returned to the studio.
The thing is,
like, come on, man. I would have done it for you.
I know you would have, man. Listen, I didn't recognize because, you know, when I'm on the air – I always turn my – I go to the settings and I turn the sound off.
Yeah, of course.
Because I get nervous that, you know –
because like, I'll
get Amazon
the king of
calls,
ding.
My mom a call, somebody a call, and I want a ding-ding, you know what I mean? So I was like, all right. And then I looked, but that was only in between segments, and I was like, oh, he going to get it. And I needed it too.
You're hungry, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm hangry.
You want to order? Because I'm still hungry.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to order. Yeah. All right, again, 800-919-3776.
But hey,
all right,
Ray, so put extended commercials on so we can make it through at least half my sandwich.
Commercial this first break. So while I was saying this at the start of the show, Aaron Rodgers has checked every box, has he not?
Yeah.
Like, he is pitch perfect. He has sung the tune perfectly. Everything about here, the Jets, his motivation, living in New York, what he loves about New York. Yeah. And I said, I'm trying to find something. I'm trying to find fault. Yeah. And so the Taylor Swift thing is what I got mad at, because I'm like, man, I'm out here trying to find a way to get my daughter's thing, and you're like, oh yeah, me and my friends, we're all going, we love it. Like, you've seen really, Taylor Swift.
First of all, how old are your friends? You're 40, bro.
He said they're all around his age, and they
love
her.
Taylor Swift.
They love her.
Is Taylor Swift like? Is she like Beyonce? I know she's like Beyonce because of her accomplishments, but how old is Taylor Swift?
Is she like in her 30s now?
She's in her 30s.
She's gotta be.
That's like, see, you understand what I'm saying? That's like me, like
what?
That's like me, like.
Look, she's
liking Bow Wow or something. You know what I mean? That's like, who's a young singer now?
33?
Right.
Yeah, all right.
Ain't he a little old to be into that?
They're like 5 years apart in age.
No.
What do you mean no?
Aaron Rodgers is almost 40. She's 33.
Okay, so they're 6 years apart in age?
I'm just saying, I don't listen to, when he was a fan? When did he become a fan?
He said he's always been a fan. Do we have audio? Do we have audio of Aaron Rodgers talking about Taylor Swift?
That's weird.
Like we have to now get
that's
that.
That's like me saying I want to go to a K-pop concert.
Fair.
You know what I'm saying? Because that means when A-Aaron was 30, she was 20, singing little kid stuff. Now, I guess I did like Chris Breezy when he was 16, but I wasn't that old. Aaron Rodgers almost 40. He that's not his music.
I was into Tevin Campbell back in the 90s. I was much older.
Yeah, can we talk?
Tevin Campbell was a good singer. I like this music.
But then you wanted to hear what he was
talking
about. Plus,
Prince gave him, like, you know, Prince gave him the blessing, and that's all I need to know.
Okay.
If Prince thinks you're good.
I don't know, man. Am I out of pocket, man? Ask our callers. I don't know. Like,
800-919-3776.
Is it weird for a 40-year-old man to be into Taylor Swift?
I don't think it's weird. He likes her. So what?
What's one of her songs? Can we only play a couple?
Well, we got to play Tina Turner today.
Oh, yeah.
Right as the show ended.
Private Dancer.
Right as the show ended. Is the news came out that we lost Tina yesterday.
Yeah,
and you know
tough.
How much, I mean, I love Tina Turner.
Yeah, that's
like,
tough.
Absolutely one of my favorites growing up.
I mean, she's an inspiring story. I mean, the fact that she was able to come back.
Yep.
She was able to come back at 45 and do what
second
she did.
Second career that she
yeah,
had.
Yeah, it's crazy. And to go from one genre to the next, to go from rhythm and blues to rock.
Her range was so good.
It's crazy.
Her appreciation of music was off the chart. Like, so much about her was, like, you just loved her so much. And then there was this great interview she did with Mike Wallace, and she has this house that was built,
Switzerland.
I believe it was in France,
okay.
South of France,
uh-huh.
Overlooking I think the Riviera or something like that. Like it was, all I know is this view was ridiculous, and she's describing it and explaining it to him and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then he stops for a minute and he's like, "This seems like a lot. Is this a lot for you?" And she goes, "No, I deserve it."
Yeah.
No, actually he said this. He goes, you deserve this, don't you? And she said, I deserve more. That's what she said. I deserve more was how she responded. But then she smiled and laughed. Like you could see there was a playfulness to it. But there was such, I don't know, a beautiful appeal about
first
her.
First Jim Brown now is like.
No, it's just, look, this is
we're at that point where like we have a.
Passage of time, baby.
Yeah, we have a category of stars that are aging where they're around, you know, Belafonte.
She's 83, right?
Yeah.
Tina was, which really caught me like again. Like. You don't realize how old you are until you see how old people that you admired growing up are.
Yeah, we got Cher, we got Patty, you know, we got our star Smokey's up there now, you know what I mean? Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
Like some of the architects of my childhood are getting to that age. You know what I mean? He made The Wiz and all that stuff. You know what I mean? He's older than us, but he was doing things that catered to us, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So again, we'll honor her music for sure. But I mean, if we have to play one Taylor Swift song for you.
I just don't know any.
You don't know any?
I don't know.
Nah, you got to know something.
I can't mouth anything.
If we I'm going to need that
I
drop.
I promise you.
If we I guarantee you we'll play one and you're like, "Oh, I know that song." Okay. Like there'll be one that you at least know.
I don't think so, man.
Yeah. Well, it looks like I am not going to, at least daughter number 2 is not going to look at me as the best dad.
Listen,
what
you have to do, and this is how you make it up. You knew that New York was going to be hot. You got to go find her like in Nova Scotia or somewhere like that.
And then what? Then I got to go to Nova Scotia?
You got to find a place.
Then I got to go there.
A place that she's performing for charity.
By the way,
I mean, that's her write-off portion of her tour.
In music right now, how would you compare this? Because everybody's doing these stadium things now. Like Kendrick Lamar just did one. Like stadiums is where you make your big money.
Yeah.
Album sales doesn't do it anymore.
Or these big festivals. These film festivals. Yes. Like Usher did the film festival.
But her doing a stadium tour.
Yeah.
For a singer that, let's be honest, Taylor Swift is best appreciated in a small setting because she's got an amazing voice. Right?
She does?
Oh, yeah. So you would rather.
She better than Christina Aguilera voice-wise?
I mean, voice talent?
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't
or
know.
She like a Miley Cyrus?
But her, I think Taylor Swift's music, like I want her to do an Unplugged album.
Okay.
Straight up, just her and an acoustic guitar and just do something
tiny,
like that.
Tiny table or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like do something like that. But so in a stadium, I mean, what, like, are you really appreciating the music? No. You're going because it's
for the bag.
She is just internationally beloved. So she's here to make the money.
Can she dance?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so she do a little choreography.
But not, we're not
I didn't know if she's like Britney Spears or something like that.
Nothing like that. No, okay. She's not pulling that off. But she just
she's like Adele?
Sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. But the point is that's what's happening now. This is all the post-COVID get our money back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Kind of tours
that's
that are going on
right.
That's
why they charge you $21,000.
Yeah. That's why Ray's charging me $21,000.
Well, like the GoFundMe, I think it's
where are we at right now with the GoFundMe?
Said
GoFund Gracie.
$13.25. Yeah,
$13.25. Man, 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's go to Scott in Manhattan. What's up, Scotty?
Yo, guys, listen. I mean, just on the music side, I understand both of the points, but like I agree with Bart. Listen, I'm not gonna be on. I'm not gonna be up in the club in a concert, you know, saying singing a song and jumping around with kids that can be my kids. But then again, I can understand there's certain songs that I may like. Like I said, I'll listen to a J. Cole or something. If I'm vibing, you know, somewhere, I mean, I can listen to it on the radio or something. But for me to be up in a club or somewhere just bounce around with 20-something, I'm not going to do that. You know, just it's a place.
Yeah, it's a vibe, man. So
exactly. It's just not a good look.
If that is, like I said, we're searching for something about Aaron Rodgers, we could say, I didn't like this. Because he's been pitch perfect. He's hit every note since he's gotten here. What can we say that we're like, I didn't like that? And it could it be that. Here he is. All right, here he is talking about how big of a Taylor Swift fan that he is.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
So you're going to be there this weekend. Now, who do you go to Taylor Swift with?
I got some friends who are also big fans who are kind of in my age group. So we're going to go together.
That's him with Adam Schein on SiriusXM. So this is a big conversation. Now, okay.
Is he dating? Maybe he can date her.
Wasn't he? Isn't Mallory Edens, right? Isn't he dating her?
I got a new chick.
The daughter of the Bucks owner?
Isn't he part owner of the Bucks?
Something like that. Yeah, I think that's me.
Oh, yeah, because you know it's not me because my ringer's off.
That's all me. Sorry. I thought he was dating her. And she's from New York, by the way.
She's not Taylor Swift.
So... though, when people say they want to be at an event? You're not really a fan. All right, so name your favorite song or your favorite
album. My favorite album is Folklore. My favorite song off that album is probably August.
He can do it.
Yeah.
So there you go. So he legit
he's weird.
Is a Swiftie. You don't like that, do you?
Well, I guess. I mean, I guess. Yeah.
Wow, I let you down.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
He had the perfect rock and roll hair, too.
Oh, yeah.
She came off the jean jacket with the spiky hair.
That's right.
She's kind of like, to me, for people and the young kids out there that don't know who she was. And it was funny watching CNN, watching MSNBC, watching Fox, and everybody trying to pay tribute. But you can tell that they'd never heard her song, and they just did the research. And it was like, yes, and she came back from adversity at 45, and all she wanted was her name. Like,
it's so painful.
Why we got people talking that ain't a fan? Yeah. Shut up!
Yeah,
say you don't know. Let the people that know
so
talk.
Painful. She was such an inspiration, someone who came back from being a battered wife.
Yes.
I mean, not even half the damn story
right now. Like, stop it, man. She's two genres, right? Switching from one genre to the next. And then,
powerful voice, one of the most powerful voices in music. She loved all kinds of music. She was a fan of like everything. She listened to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just and it was at a time, too. She was in the 80s when she made her comeback album.
Yeah.
Right? She was in her 40s.
44.
And she was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it was like that. Like that opened the door for a lot of other like 70s artists who still wanted to make music. She had such success that a couple others were like, oh, because, you know, there was this thing even back then that
you gotta start
once
touring,
you get a certain age,
you start touring. You
know, like you're done.
Artist. No new music.
Yeah.
And just
you
look
can't
at
be
it.
Sexy over 40. And Tina Turner showed up and said, yeah, I damn can.
It's equivalent to like right now, like, well, Beyonce never really left. But she hadn't had an album like 7-8 years, right? It's like Beyonce coming back and making an album, or
Mary J. at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, or but making an album is different.
Well, yeah,
right. So she came back and she had albums like ballads. It's like if Beyonce came back tomorrow, like I'm singing in country and become the biggest country star ever. Like, yo, what the hell?
That's a good point.
She had Mick Jagger up there doing his thing. She taught Mick Jagger how to do his thing.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying?
That's right. And then it's just so many. The Proud Mary was it. Creedence Clearwater Revival, I believe, right? Was it them, right? John Fogerty? Yeah, okay. That was their original song. And that was a rock song. It was much different. Then she put a spin on it, sped it up.
With that little twang.
Put some soul in it. And it was like a huge hit that even Fogerty was like, I love that song. I love that version of it.
She took the song and made it hers. Like, you forget who that wasn't the original. I mean, I tell you what, man. Like, everybody know that I was out for a couple of days. And I'm going to say something.
No, we didn't notice at all.
I'm going to say something that maybe I would say that.
What?
Speaking of people coming back in their 40s, the George Foreman movie is 8 times better than any Muhammad Ali movie ever made.
8 times, not 10, 8. Standing
the George Foreman story.
It's a great story.
I'm late. We don't know it all. His story.
Yeah.
Like. That movie, I didn't give it a chance because the actor looked stupid in there with the big George. It didn't look nothing like George.
True. But you got into the movie despite the fact that the character didn't look the part?
That movie, but when you look at different parts of the movie, you just see him fat and fall, but they're talking about, yo, this is not no beauty contest, Michelin Man. Like, Forrest Whitaker and whoever played George in different parts of his life,
yep.
When I tell you it's probably – might be the best movie I've seen this year.
Okay, now I'm into it. Now I got to see it.
This movie is amazing, man.
Okay.
George Foreman is amazing. And his life is amazing. Still was 325 pounds when he decided to come back because they cut the lights off. And what I love is, you know how Hollywood embellishes stories?
Of course.
No embellishment.
Sensationalizes
the story. When I say zero embellishment.
Really?
His life is that interesting that it was no embellishment.
It's that dramatic. You didn't have to write it.
And everything that they show in the movie, they showed an actual George Foreman doing it in real life.
I love
afterward.
That. See,
like,
I love that.
So you're like, oh, man, he ain't carrying no damn cow on his back. Wrong. Show you him carrying a damn cow.
Love it.
Like, oh, he ain't pulled no Jeep. Wrong. Oh, he wasn't chopping down trees. Wrong. Like, everything, he wasn't jumping up saying Jesus Christ and this and all that stuff. Wrong. Zero embellishment. Like, I've never seen a movie where 0% of it wasn't embellished.
So it was like it fact-checked itself.
Yes. It was like, damn.
Yeah.
At the end, you're like, they ain't make that up?
Mm-hmm.
No. I say amazing, man. Like, it's one of the most inspirational. And I knew the story. Like, everybody knew he fought Zaire, loss of Ali.
Yeah.
Him growing up as a kid in the Fifth Ward of Houston. If you haven't seen the George Foreman, and I'm sorry, George, that I didn't give it a chance. And I had to be forced to be sitting on a tube in an airplane and push a button because I was like, I need something to watch. If I would have watched it a month ago, my life would have been better.
Wow.
It's that good of a movie.
That's the best way, that's the best critique of a movie you could possibly give it. If I had seen it sooner, my life would be better. That's great. Now you're making me want to see it. My life is better because Aaron Rodgers is a Jet.
Yeah.
And I like I've said.
Little calf injury, though. You know what I'm saying? We're being cautious. You know.
We were on the air when that stuff was, Rossini was, she's going to join us at 1 o'clock. She's tweeting this stuff, and I'm freaking out. Like, wait, what? Already? And then Lazard had an injury. We didn't know what it was at first. Good thing it was just, you know, a little ding-ding in the undercarriage. But before, we thought it was another, he wasn't getting up. He's being helped off. He's walking off with a trainer. He hasn't come back. I'm going, no, why? Why? Like, always a Jets fan. Yep. Always. But then, of course, things calm down and we're better. But he has really said all the right things. He's checked every box. I mean, I this is for New Yorkers and especially Jets fans. It has been audio porn. All of it. You just love it. You want to hear him talk more.
Yeah, I feel so, like he's hamming it up for the cameras, too.
How about? Yeah, he has been. How about Adam Schein gets the interview? And on SiriusXM.
Adam Schein.
Yeah. Adam Schein.
Adam Schein, listen.
Never turns off the voice. He's a great dude.
I love Adam Schein.
But he never turns the voice off.
I wanted to punch him in the face.
Why?
I love him, man. But he's the ultimate hype man.
Yes, he is.
He is Flavor Flav. Like,
he is.
I come off a segment with him. Everybody knows I used to do tops with him. I started. That's why I started my TV career.
Yeah.
He'd be like, Bart, honest to God. It's the greatest segment I ever heard in TV. Like, Adam, I stuttered twice, sneezed, and my phone went off. Man, shut the hell up.
It's so him. They're the best, Bart, the best, just absolutely the best. Like, he's just powerful. Never. And I always thought, like, that's what he does on air. And then you see him somewhere else. How about that? Like, whoa. You really do that just in regular life.
That's my guy. Shout out.
But let's see what he got. God bless him. But yeah, he gets Aaron Rodgers on the show. And so let's see, a couple of things that he talked about, which is why are the Jets the perfect next chapter for him?
Well, I think change is always difficult, but if you can lean into it, there can be a lot of really beautiful things on the other side. I had an incredible chapter in Green Bay, and now I'm starting a new one in New York, New Jersey, and it's just a perfect marriage of, you know, an offense that I know, offense coordinator I have a lot of love and respect for, a few common teammates, and then the beauty in all the new relationships you get to form with these new teammates and get to know them and let them get to know you and your style and the way you play and the way you lead. And that's kind of what wakes me up in the morning, is what conversation is going to come up today. It's going to be fun. What new scheme we can teach these guys. And then what can you learn about your teammates today?
Isn't this the quintessential, I'm in a new relationship, yeah, and I love her?
Yeah, because he was bored. And now it's like, yeah, all right. She's talking to me a certain way, like it's new stuff. It's not like redundant.
Right. Every day is exciting.
I'm not coming to the same place, parking in the same spot, sit same locker room. Everything's new, so it's exciting.
And it also helps that what you're around is inspiring. Like a young team that's fired up, everybody's hyped about all this stuff. It gives you,
and they believe in you.
Reinvigorate. Oh yeah.
They believe in
you. And they're looking at you like you're a god, where there it's like people are kind of getting tired of his act.
So it forces because of the joy from the new people, it forces him to have to live up to expectations.
Oh, speaking of which, you know how we're all trying to figure out, like, what will success mean for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets? And, you know, is it they must get to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl? They must do these things.
He looks like a guy that runs from the expectations.
I don't think so. So he was asked by Adam Schein, like, what defines success for him in his mind in the first year?
I was traded here with the idea that there's a team in place that can win a championship. And, you know, being an older player, that's what you want to do. You want to add to your legacy, and championships obviously really add to your legacy. So I've always said I think there's 8 to 10. I think the 6 you mentioned are all in the conversation. I think there's probably some other ones that deserve some love as well. You know, the AFC, you have the 6 you mentioned. 4 of those are AFC teams. I'm obviously very strong. We have the reigning Super Bowl champs in our conference now, and, you know, one of the best players in the league. In Fatty, and then obviously the Bengals had a great run the previous year and got a great football team in our division. I think there's 4 really good teams. We get to see kind of where we stack up in the first game of the year against my buddy Josh and the Buffalo Bills, which would be a fun way to start the season.
So talking championship, right, which is, of course,
my buddy Josh. But that's what you want, because now if your best player is talking championship openly, you either sink or swim. You can know that's the expectation. So, yo, if you ain't doing something, if you late, if you miss an assignment, if you're not doing that, then it's easy to hold you accountable, because we talking about openly. We're not saying, oh, we just trying to take one game at a time. Let's try and win a game, or let's try and win the division. If you're talking championship, then it changes the level. That's a whole totally different conversation.
Yeah. But that shouldn't that be the expectation, to contend? Not to, you know, again, to win it, it's going to take a lot. We all know this. The AFC is a juggernaut. We'll get into it. Yeah. But to say you should be contending, that's not, I don't think that's a reach. Yeah. This team is good enough to be considered one of the contenders for a championship. Don't you think that's at least a fair level of expectation for this team? Yeah. Not, you know, you can't say they must win it. But you can say they should be contending for it.
Would you be surprised if the Lions were in the AFC championship?
Would I be surprised?
In NFC championship.
If the Lions were?
Yeah.
Or
if they won the division?
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
Because they changed expectations by what they were able to do last year.
They showed us last
year. They doubled down by improving their team.
Yes.
The Jets were right there to be in a position to go to the playoffs.
Right.
So would you be surprised? Nobody, even to, in my opinion, even without Aaron Rodgers, if we had Derek Carr, we'd be having a conversation that, hey, maybe we can make it to the divisional round or AFC championship. So if you add one of the best players to ever play this game, who's 1 year removed from being an MVP, and the year before that he was an MVP, why wouldn't the expectations be that? So it's not like we're just trying to pull it out of midair, right, and say, oh, well, no, they're just – we want blind faith. This is like logical thinking. Like if a team with 7 wins and you think that if you get the best player, what was Tampa Bay before Tom Brady came there?
They were a 500 team with a quarterback, 7-9. With a quarterback that was giving you 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions.
So, and they added a Hall of Fame quarterback and they became a Super Bowl champion.
Now, one more thing that I want to play from Rodgers, because like I said, I use the phrase audio porn, because if you're in New York – and you love when stars come to New York, and we've always talked about this. Like this is a place that, while we love our teams and everybody loves the homegrown athletes that we've had, when a star comes here, it's pretty exciting, right? Because we feel like this is the best stage in sports. And so what you want is for that star to come in and embrace everything about being a New Yorker and just being in New York and understanding New York sports and where you are. So listen to this answer that Aaron Rodgers gives to Adam Schein about him really like sinking himself into the history of New York sports, including one team in particular that he happened to watch in an ESPN 30 for 30.
Last night I was watching a 30 for 30 on the 86 Mets. I was always a big Kevin Mitchell fan growing up. He was a Giant and had a big year in 1989 where he hit like 47 home runs and drove in 125. And that team of him and Will Clark and Robbie Thompson and Rick Rushel and Candy Maldonado and Jose Uribe. I just loved that team, but I really loved Kevin Mitchell. Many people don't know the entire story, but they were down 3-2 and came back in that last game and were able to pull it off, down 2 runs in extra innings in the 10th there on the Buckner error, which actually put them ahead to win the game 6-5, and then came back in the 7th and won. Win the World Series, but just the reaction from the fans was so classic. And just you realize how special it would be to win a championship anywhere, obviously, but I think especially here in New York with a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in 12 years and obviously hasn't been back to the Super Bowl since Broadway Joe.
I could listen to that all day.
And you know, and he knows how to play the hits, he knows how to lean to it, and he's done his research. And we call it acculturate. He's acculturated to New York life.
And not everybody does this.
Jet life.
Not everybody does this. Again.
Yeah, Brett Favre wanted to just be a farmer.
Exactly. Like, that's the difference already I'm seeing in this, is that Brett Favre came here, and he came here, he's like, all right. And he made do. Like,
I'm just here to play football.
I'm going to make do, right? I'm going to make do.
Yeah, I don't really
Aaron has come here, and he has embraced everything there is to embrace about being a celebrity athlete in New York, and also just understanding the landscape of what it is. Expectations of what we all want to see. And he's like, yeah, I can see what you're talking about from watching this documentary. Like, it's pretty special to win here.
Yeah, he's like, I'm good with that.
I'm envisioning it. It's great. This is as close to me. The next closest thing is Mark Messier. Mark Messier came here in 91. He already had been a winner, a big-time winner with the Oilers. Everybody knew who he was in hockey, but not in sports. So he comes to the Rangers, and there was this expectation, this guy's the Messiah. He's going to bring a championship. They actually didn't have great success right away. They were good the first year. Second year, didn't make the playoffs. Didn't even make the playoffs. Got booed off the ice. But persevered. Third year, obviously, they win the cup, and that was just a phenomenal year, right? But it's that same feeling that he dove into it. The famous line of, this town's just an apple, I just want to bite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the Michael Jackson Human Nature song. He quotes that. Like, he was all about it, and it was special. And that's, I think, what Aaron Rodgers is doing. Same thing. This town's an apple. I'm going to take a bite.
And he's doing a great job in, with all this Aaron Rodgers talk, he's doing a great job in, providing some cover for the Mets. Speaking of Mets.
We'll get to that.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Grab some calls here. Diana Rossini going to join us at the top of the hour, get into more of the Jets and OTAs and what's happening around the league, including Lamar Jackson and all the questions about what the Baltimore Ravens are going to look like. Man, the AFC is a gauntlet, and the Jets are part of it, no doubt about that. Manny's in Brooklyn, though. How about Manny? Manny. Oh, boy.
Sorry.
No, you good. What's happening,
man? I'm sorry. Okay. Listen, you know, you talk about Tina Turner. Mm-hmm. There was one song that I should recommend. It's called I Don't Want to Fight. I heard it yesterday.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Mm-hmm. That song really got me because it really talks about never giving up and never giving up. I think it relates to her because what she went through with Ike, like, during that time. Because I remember there was one scene, that movie, What Love Got to Do with It,
yep,
where she went in a hotel battered, and she was like, hey, I need your help. And that was like the beginning of her in like her solo career.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it there.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Manny. Yeah, that song is true. That song isn't about it's not about a surrender as much as it is just about, I'm tired of this drama. I just want to move on, like, whatever. Put it behind you, that kind of thing. Bart's getting lunch, if anybody's wondering. Ordering lunch. That's why he hasn't chimed in yet, because he's ordering lunch. This is where we are. This is what it's about. This is the adventure, of course, that is working with the great Bart Scott. Up on the Upper West Side, we have Aaron. What's happening, Aaron?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So my thoughts about Favre from a Giants perspective, I'm a Giants fan, long time, but he seems to be doing exactly what you want as a Jets fan, but he also seems to have the big picture in mind. I think he sees that there's a stage here in New York that he has access to that he doesn't get anywhere else, and he's playing it exactly correctly.
I completely agree. I think he's walked into this thing with his eyes wide open, where he completely, like you just said, he understands what he's walking into. This is not one of those, he has preconceived notions, and then we're treating him differently, and everybody, like, he's going to get upset. Like, I remember before all this happened that there were some people that were talking about how he's going to struggle with the media because he's just so sensitive. He's not going to like the coverage. People are going to want to talk to him, and he's surly with the media. Excuse me. None of that is true. If you ask anybody that covered him in Green Bay, they loved him. It's when things got stupid, when he did some things that people had to question him about, he didn't like. It's that kind of stuff. And then during the season, he doesn't like being second-guessed. He doesn't like being questioned. That's going to come, and we all know it's coming. This is the honeymoon, and the honeymoon phase is the best phase because we're not tired of each other. We're not tired of different things. We're loving it all. But beyond all that, this is so not the Brett Favre experience because of the fact that he comes in embracing this, everything there is about playing in New York. And that's exactly like Aaron was saying, the caller. That's the thing I think we appreciate the most, is that I think he gets it. And so, look, when the season starts and questioning decisions and wins and losses and all the other stuff, that starts to come. There'll be those moments where it gets a little heated, a little animosity, where he gets tired of dealing with the media. That is all coming because that's what happens once you get into the season.
The ups and downs of
the
season.
Yeah, man. But
the ebb and flow.
But I, like I said, there's a lot of athletes that come to this town.
And they cower.
And they don't know. They're clueless to it. I mean, was it not Lindor that was part of the thumbs down stuff? Was it thumbs down, whatever it was, yeah, like to the crowd? What is he like? That's clearly just not knowing your audience.
What, Julius Randle?
Julius Randle, of course, another great example of that. Like, just, yeah, perfect example. Jalen Brunson comes into New York. He gets it, says all the right things. He knows exactly what to say.
He's from here. He was built. He was molded by this environment.
Blood in the ground. Yeah. He's got blood in the ground. He gets it. But not everybody's like that. Kyrie and KD. You know, like, there's just some things they don't get. Rodgers, so far, seems to get it, and he's embracing it, and he's loving it, and it's been fun to watch so far.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.